thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene. I'm Wole, and I'm your host, Ray Jeezy, and Will T are out. Make sure you subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, iTunes, and Google Play. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Also, tweet us at Urban Sports Scene and hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page, man. It's a victory Monday, man. The Skins finally got a W. They beat the Detroit Lions 19-16. It's all festive. It's all happy. Some people want to call out taking selfies and stuff, man. The team just got a W, man. All right. Stop with the hate. Just stop with the hate. Will T would normally say this, but he's not in the building. Let's get into our tradition, the pregame. Here's what we have on tap. The Washington Redskins defeating the Detroit Lions 19-16 and their upcoming game against the Carolina Panthers. Co-host and Redskins reporter for Tony McGee's Pro Football Plus, Donna Hopkins, will jump on to discuss this at 8:20. WNST Washington Capitals insider Ed Frankovic will join me to talk Caps at 8:30. Patrick Waring from the NBS Sports Podcast will join me to talk about Hoyas basketball. The Hoyas are being extra competitive. I'm loving it. At 8:40, I'll talk about Deontay Wilder knocking out Luis King Kong Ortiz Saturday night. And finally, at 8:50, we'll make our NFL Week 13 picks. But first, right now, I have Donna Hopkins from Tony McGee's Pro Football Plus on the line. What's going on, Donna?
What's happening, Wally? You know, I just heard you say, stop hating people, stop hating. The Redskins got to win.
Yeah.
Let's not have all this negativity.
Yeah.
But in the same breath. We have to speak some truth about the win, too, because it was some things that we can still dissect about the game. But the key thing is, this was the first win at home since October 2018. So you've got to be happy, finally.
That's what I'm saying, Donna. I mean, they haven't had a home W in forever. You know what I mean? And they haven't been competitive this whole season at home. Like the fans have been leaving out in halftime. Finally, fans had an opportunity to stay throughout the whole game, and they got a W.
Yeah, and with the things that's gone on this year so far, you've got to take the good.
You've got to
take whatever you can possibly take. And there was some good things that you can take away from the win on Sunday.
So what were your thoughts on the game? Skins won 19-16. What were your thoughts?
I think overall they did some good things. I want to hop over to the defensive side of the ball first, because we know some transition is starting to happen as far as Josh Norman got benched, and, you know, that whole debacle as far as if he was going to be deactivated, then he was activated, but they still did not start him. And I'm all right with that, because transition is starting to happen with a lot of the veteran players that have big ticket money, and they have not played well. And at this point, you see that they don't need to be playing right now, because I think that this is a stretch for the Redskins that they need to start inserting some of the younger guys in to see what you've got, so that next year you prepare for draft-wise to plug in some of those areas. So I love that Fabian was finally in his right position.
Agreed.
And he stepped in and got two interceptions, but he played overall well. And then you've got Dunbar, who's probably been the solid person on defense all season long.
Agreed.
Jimmy Moreland. I don't know why I couldn't think of his name, but Jimmy Moreland is a name that you probably want to remember, because he still is getting groomed and everything to play that position. But one thing about the defense that I didn't see happen that has happened in the previous games is the communication seemed to have been better this past week, and that's something that has not happened. So I was liking what I saw on the defensive side of the ball. Because the thing about it is, they kept them out of the end zone, although the line struggled overall, too.
Mm-hmm.
They basically almost handed that game to the Redskins. But I do like the fact that they did some great things in the secondary, which is an area that they have not played well all season long for the most part. But then when you transition over to the offensive side of the ball, you see that I started with the defense first.
I know
you're
trying
right?
to be real positive. I know how you. I see what you were doing.
Yeah.
You ain't slick.
Yeah. I wanted to go back there because I wanted to, you know, just talk about the offense right now because it was some good things that happened, and I think Harmon was one of the people that has been inserted into the Redskins passing game over the last 2 weeks because of Paul Richardson's injury. And I think that he's on his way out too. That is Paul Richardson along with Josh Norman, because Paul Richardson really hasn't done anything since he came here. He hasn't been that player that the Redskins expected him to be because he got injured the first year that he was here and he was out for the season, but he really hasn't made his staff presence a playmaker as some of these younger guys that have stepped up, like Harmon. Loved what he did, the one-handed catch.
Yeah.
But I think that he's a playmaker, but he just hasn't been inserted in the offense all season long. And then the other positive thing, need I say any more about Terry McLaurin? This is a guy that overall his work ethic, his playmaking, you know, just everything about him, you love love about him. And he made some key catches down the stretch, some drop balls. But for the most part, he played. Now, Haskins, I'm going to dissect him for a little bit because he did do some things at the end to help them to win this game. But the thing about it is you can tell that he has a long way to go before he's going to be an NFL quarterback. To almost like Lamar Jackson up in Baltimore, and I'm not comparing the two because I think Jackson is a long, long ways ahead of Haskins. But what I saw in Haskins is that he would make a big play, but then he would make two bad plays with overthrown balls, and everybody wanted to say the wind was blowing. But no, it was almost like his short ball. He needs to take something off his short ball because he was throwing that ball in there almost like it was like a bomb that he was throwing instead of a soft touch, you know, from 10 yards and everything. And that's the reason why he missed some of the receivers, because the ball was thrown too hard. Uh-huh. And then his touch is just not there. And it may have been because he was so hyped up. But I still think that he needs to work on some of his mechanics, because he's got the arm and everything. But another area, and you know, I'm not taking anything and not trying to be negative, but I'm just pointing out some things in his game that I think he needs to have a solid quarterback coach to really come in here and help him, because he, you know, with the defensive schemes and everything that they're throwing at him, you know, they look like they're confusing him because he's not used to seeing that. Mm-hmm. From college to the pros is two different things as far as the speed of the game and what defenses are going to throw at you. So I think that's some areas that he needs to work on. And then I go to the running game. You know, one week they're running the ball and not throwing the ball. Mm-hmm. And then the next week they're throwing the ball and not running the ball. AP and Geis only had 10 carries
apiece, right?
And they only had 86 total yards. You got to have some balance in between those two things. Yeah. You got to be able to mix it up enough. And I don't think offensive coordinating wise that the Redskins are doing a good job of just mixing up. Because guess what? They still have not gotten into the end zone that much this season. Yeah. One time and no times this week, and if it hadn't been for, you know, special teams that played the best that I've seen them play all year with Steven Sims Jr., with the run back 91 yards, and, you know, he muffled that and ran it back, and then Dustin Hopkins, he hasn't had a great year, but he made 4 field goals, 2 down the stretch with the wind conditions, and he was able still to nail those and pull out. But the offense is not doing enough to be able to help this team win and be able to help this defense overall. So I don't understand why they're having such a tough time getting into the end zone for a touchdown.
Yeah, I know. It's like they're struggling to get in the end zone. And, you know, Dwayne had opportunities in that game. You know, he missed McLaren for like an easy touchdown. He overthrew him. Wide open in the fourth quarter where he needed a little touch. He rifled it and barely missed McLaren. In terms of Dwayne, I'm like on the side of, you know, it's all about progression. We want to see Dwayne get better. Yeah. I think we've seen him get better a little by little. Like you stated that, you know, he needs to work on his mechanics. I think he needs to work on his mechanics. But at the same time, though, you know, what I saw of Dwayne, which I did like, is that when Dunbar got that interception and they needed to make a drive to get into field goal range, he stepped up. He had that big run. He hit McLaurin on that pass. No, McLaurin made a great catch. It was still a pass to McLaurin. If he's a number one wide receiver, he should make, right? So, to me, when I look at Dwayne, I'm like, all right, Dwayne, you do show elements of being clutch. Now it's all about putting it all together. You know, that deep pass to Harmon that was on stride to Harmon drop. You know what I mean? Like, the narrative changes if Harmon catches that pass, right? We're now talking about Dwayne. Okay, his stats look pretty good. I mean, he only had about 156 yards passing, so it wasn't impressive. So, I'm not going to lie and say it was impressive, but...
No, not at all.
Exactly.
A fumble and an interception.
Exactly, right? So, but at the same time, you know, just like last week or whatever, like, you know, with that holding call on Sheriff, right? When he threw the bomb to McLaurin, and that's wiped off, right? Because they called hold on Sheriff. Well, the same thing, like the narrative changes if these players make big plays or they don't have a dumb penalty. So, like my thing about Haskins, it's only about progression. Like, that's what I want to see from him. If he can show me from week to week that he's getting better, then I think the Skins are going in towards the right direction.
Yeah, I think that you hit it on the nail, because it's almost like he's taking baby steps and everything. Mm-hmm. And like you said, I'm glad that they, and personally, I'm glad that they end up starting him finally.
Yeah.
And because I think the other quarterbacks, they may have done some things better.
Yeah.
But if you're going to build for your future, you know, you want to know what you have in your quarterback, and this is the guy that you drafted at the 15th pick, you got to be able to play him right now to see what you got, to figure out if he is the guy.
Yeah.
So, like you said, if you can see progression each week and he's not making the same mistakes over and over.
Exactly.
And I want people to realize that he's going to make mistakes.
Yeah.
That a veteran probably wouldn't have made.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm okay with that. If I can see him moving in the right direction as far as his short game, his short passing game, and his decisions as far as what he's seeing on defense, because I think he sometimes looks just one way all the time,
mm-hmm.
instead of surveying the field a little bit. But I can understand a little bit about that, because you got an offensive line that is not good with pass blocking. They're good with run blocking, which I cannot understand why you can't mix the two up enough, because if you become one-dimensional where one game you want to pass all the time, then defenses can kind of like, you know, kind of like, put the pressure on you,
mm-hmm.
and take a lot of things away from you. But the thing about Washington is they've got to learn how to be balanced as far as, like I said, their play calling, because I think you've got Geis and AP, and these are two runners that can get you a lot of things in the run game.
Mm-hmm.
And you had Geis that, you know, I was trying to figure out, I said, you're going to run AP in the first half and then Geis in the second half. And that just throws the whole running game off, instead of just mixing them two. Why don't you use Geis and AP at the same time?
I love
because
that.
Geis you can use as a receiver coming out of the backfield, because he's a better receiver coming out of the backfield than Adrian Peterson. And then you can really mix up that. And you know, blocking-wise, I don't know if both of them are great blocking, but you really add another dimension into your offense if you got both of those guys in at the same time and using one as a receiver sometimes,
mm-hmm.
Because you shouldn't have to use trick plays as they did with Tim.
Oh, God.
And I'm like, that ain't going to work. Hey. But one thing about this week coming up, you got a Carolina team that put up 30-some points.
31.
On 31 points on New Orleans, came back from behind, so you know that they've got the weapons to be able to come back. But the Redskins have not scored any touchdowns, and if they're not able to score touchdowns, it's going to be a long day for them in Carolina.
Oh, I agree. You're listening to the Urban Sports Team right now. I'm rapping with co-host and Skins reporter for Tony McGee's Pro Football Plus. You mentioned the Carolina Panthers. What should we expect with the Skins playing the Panthers, and what output should we expect?
Well, I'm telling you, The defense better be ready for an air show. And not only that, Carolina can run the ball, too. I mean, they're well-balanced.
McCaffrey's the truth. Oh, my God.
McCaffrey. And then you got DJ Moore. And then Caffrey. And Caffrey is also a great back with catching the ball out of the backfield that we were talking about just now that we like to see here in Washington. So he's dangerous right there. And then you got a quarterback that's pretty solid. Mm-hmm. So, I think the defense has to be prepared to put a lot more pressure up front, because if you let him step back, then it's going to be a long day for the secondary. I don't care who's in there.
Mm-hmm.
But the offense has to be able to help the defense this week and keep Carolina off the field, because with what they did with New Orleans, and New Orleans is a way better team than Washington.
They're
not even in the same ballpark. But they got to do a better job, basically, of keeping the defense off the field. And that means that the offensive side of the ball has to be able to run the ball, and they've got to be able to pick up first downs, because on the opposite side with the defense, they're ranked, I think that they've given up like 25 points per game, except last week. And then they're like third down as far as stopping teams on third down. The defense is like one of the worst, like at 49% in the NFL. So you definitely want to be able to be balanced where the offense do their part, please. Just do their part.
Yeah, they don't have to. I'm just hoping that Dwayne improves and, you know, the defense plays better. Because to me, we saw something totally different against the Lions defensively, and hopefully they bring it to Carolina. And against the Lions, they were blitzing more. We've never seen them blitz that much, and they blitzed a lot more, and they brought pressure. And I think the players liked it. I mean, I spoke to John Bostic in the locker room. You could tell that they favor blitzing, putting pressure on the quarterback that way rather than just rushing four.
Or just sitting back. But the thing about it is, they should have been doing that all season long as far as the pressure up front and everything. So it's going to be interesting this week, you know, as far as, you know, going down there, you know, on the road. And what the Redskins that I wanted to, point out too is, I know that they haven't won that many games, and they were so happy after that game. But let's not forget, you're just 2-9. You're just 2-9. So my thing is, let's just stay even there. And I think Dunbar said something key when I was talking to him after the game. Is he said, you know, when Callahan talked to them after, you know, the day before, he really got on the whole team and really, you know, challenge them and whatever. Whatever he said to them, it got in their feelings, and they was like, you know, we're not going to be who you say that we are because of the way we've been looking. Yeah. So he challenged them, and they answered up, and I think they played a lot better. But the thing about it is, you shouldn't have to kick them in the butt, you know, to do that. But Dunbar, I think he took it personally, and like you said, hey, you know, we just can't stop here and whatever, but we, you know, it's games left to be played that we still have to make sure that we don't revert back to what we've been playing like in the previous games. And that's the key thing that I want to make sure and see out of this team this week, is that last week you showed great improvement in some areas, love what the younger guys did, but let's not go backward this week against Carolina. And Carolina is a better, much team than the Detroit Lions, and Detroit is actually a better team than what we saw last week.
Yeah, if they had Matthew Stafford, they would be a lot better. Before I let you go, Donna, also I want to ask you this question, because it's been obviously populating in terms of everything, in terms of DC sports media, the selfie, Dwayne Haskins selfie after the game. Did you have an issue with him not being able to be out there for the victory formation?
I most certainly did, because this is the thing you got to remember is that you are the starting quarterback. It carries a lot of weight right there. I understand that you're young and everything like that, but you should know when the game is over or when it's not over, because you should have been on the sideline, because it wasn't that much time in the game, and it's no way that you should have been over in the stands taking those selfies. And it's no excuse. Nobody can even make an excuse for that Oh, and I'm not even going to buy that you're young, because all of us have played sports on a level that's higher than high school or anything like that. And I would have never taken myself over there until that clock. And as a player, everybody should know if it's time left on that clock. So already you have ran across and were taking selfies, but you're still 2-9. You won the game, but you're still 2-9. And the other thing too with that is that, you know, everybody's trying to make these excuses, as far as his youth and all of that. But the thing about it is, I wouldn't recommend, I mean, and I think what he said after the game was over in the post-game interview and all of that, it showed that he has some growing up yet to be done. And to make yourself a great quarterback, you should never be found doing anything that ever. I'm going to give you a pass this time and as far as learning, but you should never. But he missed a great opportunity in his first NFL win, that he should have been the one that kneeled down, and that would have been a picture that he never forgot, and that he got the game ball. Mm. But right now, you can't even do that.
Well, I hope. Well, hopefully he matures from it, though. I hope so. But hey, Donna, man, thanks for being on. You know, I love you. You know, I appreciate you. Before I let you go, let my listeners know about the show and when it airs and whatnot.
Yeah, the show, Tony McGee's Pro Football Plus, in his 35th year and running, it airs every Wednesday and Friday at 10:30 p.m., Saturday morning at 9 o'clock, and also 12 noon before kickoff. And I think you can even catch it on Thursday. But, yeah, check us out. We tell the truth always. Well, let me just say I do. Those guys, you know. They have, you know, you got to kind of like watch them. But yours truly is always there telling the truth and making sure that you know all what's happening. And before I go, Wally,
yeah,
I just have to say, go Lakers.
Go Lakers, Donna. You know it. We running it. We running things right now. Hey, Donna, thanks for being on, Donna. I love you.
Thanks, Wally. All right. Bye.
That is the great Donna Hopkins. I love Donna. One of my favorite people, period. So make sure you check out Tony McGee's Pro Football Plus. It's a great show. Donna's on it. So make sure you check it out, man. All right, man. It's about time to go to break. When we get back from break, we're going to have WNST's Capitals insider Ed Frankovic to join me to talk caps. You listen to the Urban Sports thing. For Aegis, you dig? Deuces.
Bad Boy South. Block Entertainment.
I see you, Block.
Boys in the Hood.
I like this right here.
You ready? Let's ride.
It's Boys in the Hood. Look at as we proceed to give y'all what y'all need.
It's the boys in the hood. Sell anything we try. 5 in the morning on the corner clock. Yeah, we roam a deal to give a try to stop. Hey, you can get it anywhere, anybody. Them boys got hurt, them boys got. And them boys got hurt, them boys got. And them boys got. And them boys got. And them boys got. Them boys got.
If it's taking too long to lock up, bring it back, bring it back. You was shot anyway, so bring a stack, bring a stack. Tripping, we'll swap it out.
Swap it out.
If it's still in the rap, we'll swap it out.
Hey.
Let me hop off in the set.
You're listening to The Urban Sports Scene. I'm Wole, and I'm your host. Will T and Ray Jeezy are out. I love the boys in the hood, man. They used to rock, man. I'm mad that Jeezy didn't stay with them. Jeezy stayed with it, would have been all good. Ray Jeezy, Will T are out. If I didn't say that, I'm sorry. Right now, I have WNST's Washington Capitals insider Ed Frankovic on the line. What's up, Ed?
Hey, Wally Ray. Happy Thanksgiving to you guys.
Right, everything's good. Everything's great. Ray is actually out. Ray and Will are out. So it's just
oh, me. My bad.
No, it's okay.
It's still Ray.
It's okay. Ray is on we call it load management, like the NBA. So Ray's on load management. We only have him every once in a while.
Load management. I like that. Yeah.
So, Ed.
Sometimes you got to take a break from watching the Redskins, although they did win this week, right?
Yeah, they did win. But sometimes you just got to watch Lamar Jackson, right?
That's right. You got it, buddy.
So the Caps have scored one goal in each of the last two games, one resulting in a 4-1 loss to the Rangers and the other to a shootout loss to the Canucks. Should Caps fans be concerned about the low scoring output?
Well, I think it starts with the biggest issue is no Nicklas Backstrom for two games, right?
Wow.
You see what that guy means to the team,
definitely,
right?
Definitely, definitely.
You take out your number one center, and suddenly you got to bump Lars Eller up. You know, Kuznetsov can play first or second line, but now you're bumping Lars Eller up, and you're weakening the rest of the lineup. And they were missing four forwards in those games. You know, they were missing Nick Dowd, Carl Hagelin, Backstrom, and then Hathaway got suspended, of course. So.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was a big problem, but the biggest problem too is the inconsistency on the blue line, and we heard that from General Manager Brian McClellan today when he talked to the media. They're just not very consistent coming out of their own zone right now.
So hold on. So you're listening to the Urban Sports Scene right now. I have WNXT's Ed Frankovic on the line. So is Nikki coming back on? I believe they haven't. The next game is on Friday. It's tomorrow. Actually, sorry, tomorrow.
Yeah, he won't be back for Florida, but he could be back for Tampa on Friday.
Okay.
Nick Dowd is back on Wednesday against Florida.
Okay, so tomorrow the Caps have the Panthers up, you know, and then they have a fast skating Tampa Bay Lightning. Both games are at home. Will we see the usual dynamic? I know we won't. Well, if Backe comes back, Nikki comes back against the Lightning. Will we see that electrifying offense again? I guess the Panthers, they won't.
I think you will. I mean, that's going to be a high-intensity game, no doubt about it, Wally. Mm-hmm. They don't like each other.
They don't. I know they don't. They don't like each other. It's a bunch of passion. I love it, though. I love when those two teams play.
Yeah, they really don't like each other. They injured Kempe, and that really hurt the Caps. And then the Capitals took out Hedman, and that just doomed Tampa. So, both see there's bad blood. Coaches don't like each other. The players don't like each other. It's going to be a good one on Friday. But unfortunately, the Capitals tend to overlook the Panthers. And they have a history of losing here to the Florida Panthers lately.
But the Panthers are pretty solid, though. Like, I believe they're 12. They're 12-7. Is it 12-7 and I want to say 2. 12-7-2. They're pretty solid, though, right?
Yeah. Florida's a decent team.
Yeah.
You know, they got Joel Quenneville.
Mm-hmm.
Won 3 cups with the Blackhawks, coaching them now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they went out and they signed Bobrovsky from Columbus.
Mm-hmm.
And then really good young players like Alexander Barkov is going to be a superstar. Very good player. Jonathan Huberdeau, that's the guy who always kills the cap.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Brett Connolly's there now. He has 10 goals. They have a very good team.
Yeah, I hope they come to play against Florida. But the Caps are pretty good at kind of bouncing back. I look at them as a team that bounces back pretty periodically. Even when you think they're struggling, all of a sudden they bounce back and they go on a nice little, not a super hot streak, but a nice streak to kind of show the NHL that, hey, we're still here.
Yeah, I think these 4 days off will help them, Wally.
They
were banged up. They were banged up. They were tired. They played more games than anybody in the league. They needed a little break.
Mm-hmm.
So I expect some jump tomorrow. Florida tends to play a little bit of a wide-open game.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you're going to see goals tomorrow. One thing I've been very happy about is the way Braden Holtby's playing in that.
Yeah,
he's been
he has.
Really solid.
He has. You know, I'm not. That's why I didn't ask a goalie question. You know, usually I like to ask a goalie question. I didn't even ask a goalie question.
Yeah, I know. You know, it's the most important position in hockey.
I know, but Hobie's been playing so well.
Really good.
He has been so good.
Mm-hmm.
He's been really good. Hey, Ed, thanks for being on. Before I let you go, how can our listeners check out your content and catch you on social media?
Twitter at Ed Frankovic and WNSC.net. And of course, on the Urban Sports Scene, my favorite show to do.
Ed, you're my guy. You're such my guy. You're so my guy. Ed, thanks for being on, Ed. I'm gonna try to get you on. If I have a show next week, I'm trying to get you on next week.
I appreciate it. You guys have a happy Thanksgiving.
Oh, same here.
To all the listeners out there.
Thank you.
It's a great time to be a sports fan around here with the, you know, the Nationals.
Don't mention the
Redskins. Caps winning the Cup. Yeah, I know some of the people are big Ravens fans with Lamar Jackson.
Of
There's
course.
A lot going on around here.
Of course. That's Mr. Video Game, and don't mention the Redskins because people are still depressed about that.
Yeah, I mean, someday, right?
Someday. That's the phrase over here. Someday. You gotta have hope, right?
That's right.
Hey, thanks.
Maybe Haskins will be, you know, Haskins will really be the guy.
I hope
they gotta get something around him too.
I agree. Just like the Ravens have done with Lamar, they need to do same. They need to do the same thing with Dwayne. They need to bring things around, bring talent around him, make it easy for him.
Yeah, I mean, Greg Roman, the offensive coordinator for the Ravens, could be the Ravens' next coach. You never know, right?
I don't know. Dwayne ain't Lamar. He don't got that type of speed.
Well, yeah, Lamar is special.
He's special,
And he looks to be a special guy, right?
Yeah, he does, man. He
just seems
down
to be a really
earth.
Good person.
Yeah.
He hits some guy. You know, he runs into people on the sidelines. He stops. He picks them up. I mean, how often do you see that these days? I mean, he just seems to be a really genuine person. Let's hope he stays that way.
Yeah, from what I heard, he that's who he is. And I think it's a good thing about for him, and I know we're going off topic, but the good thing about Lamar, and regardless of what people think, it's good to have a guy who's failed. And I know it's rough, it's hard to say that about RG3, but it's good to have a guy that had made a lot of mistakes as a youngster, and he can learn and he can teach Lamar about, hey, don't do this. This is what I did. Do not do this. You know what I mean? So he can learn from
that. Yeah, I think that's a great point there. Mm-hmm. I think that's a very good point. Mm-hmm. I think RG3, unfortunately, went to a Redskins organization that, you know, wasn't really solid, you know?
Yeah,
and,
I agree.
The Ravens are a little more solid, you know?
I agree. I agree.
You know, Ozzie Newsom set a standard there as GM and it continued it on.
Yeah, totally agree. And I think that, you know, having a guy that jumped into stardom in Griffin and me having an organization that wasn't the strongest organization, and that made him feel like he could – empower himself even more. So I just think that, yeah, I'm with you. Like, organizations play a big part in it.
Yeah, I agree. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to take any credit away from Lamar because that young man has worked his butt off on his throwing mechanic.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the critics are going to be out there, he's Tim Tebow or whatever, RG3, whatever. I can already see the fundamentals are way better than those guys.
Yeah.
He's got a more of a foundation. He works hard. I love the shirt he wore to the interview the other day. Mm-hmm. Nobody cares. Work harder.
Yeah.
He's just a leader. Everybody around him says this guy's a leader.
But you can tell. Like, that's my thing. You can tell that he's a leader because his teammates adore him. Even Ray Lewis stated that he would think about coming out of retirement to play with this kid. That said a lot to me. You know what I mean? Like, Ray's like 45, and he's talking about, hey, I would come out of retirement to play with this kid. So it just tells you a lot about his makeup.
Yeah, I agree. And then, you know, they lost their center, and he's out for the year. Sure, got hurt in the game last night. The backup center comes in. They interview him after the game. He says, I'd do anything for Lamar.
That's
guy's a leader.
Yeah, it's just he's a phenomenal person. And from a distance, he seems like a phenomenal person, and we already know he's a phenomenal talent.
Yeah, I agree. It's going to be fun to watch.
He
certainly has been great for the league.
Yeah, definitely has. But, Ed, thanks again for being on. You had me talking Ravens, too. I appreciate you.
Anytime, Wally. Happy Thanksgiving to you and everybody.
Happy Turkey Day.
Take care, buddy.
You take care. That is Ed Fragovic, WNST's Washington Capitals insider. He had me talking about the Baltimore Ravens, and I'm not going to lie. I'm keen on Lamar Jackson. I think he's a phenomenal quarterback. It's funny, when he came out of the draft, I was like, he should have stayed in school for one more year. But, you know, the Ravens did right by him, man. They built everything around him properly. All right. Is Hoyas basketball back? Patrick Waring from the NBS Sports Hour podcast will join the show after the break. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. For ages, you dig? Deuces. You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene. I am Wole, and I'm your host. Will T and Ray Jeezy are out, man. I've had a lot of great guests. They've been helping me hold this thing down, man. I got another one coming though. You know, I'm just having these folks rolling in. Right now I have Patrick Waring from the NBS Sports Hour podcast on the line. What's going on, Pat?
Yo, what's up, Wally? How you doing, man?
I am good, man. I'm excited. You know why I'm excited? Because I was so depressed earlier. About like last week, I was depressed. I won't even lie. I mean, before the Hoyas played, I was depressed. I'm not going to lie to you. I was like, you know what? I'm not seeing it by Pat, man. Like, I was like one of the first people, like, Pat needs to be the coach of Georgetown. I was like, man, we struggling against, like, these small schools. Penn State just beat us. And then Texas came in the tournament. And I was like, wait a minute. We just beat Texas. Then Duke. Oh, man, we competitive. And then I was ecstatic again. But before we get into all that, can you tell my listeners about the NBS Sports Hour podcast?
Yeah, so the NBS Sports Hour podcast, that's a part that me and Joe do from Nuts and Balls Sports. Mm-hmm. So basically, we talk a little bit of everything, man. We talk all the major sports. We also get into music.
Okay.
You know, we're big hip-hop fans, of course. Mm-hmm. So we talk a lot of music, movie, TV. We get into stuff with culture, so it's just kind of like a little bit of everything, like whatever's going on that's either a hot topic or whatever's going on that, you know, me and Joe have an interest in. We just kind of talk about whatever.
Favorite album this year? Hip hop album this year? See what I just did to you?
Yeah, kind of put me on the spot. I'll say the album that I'm still listening to that I still have rated.
Mm-hmm.
The highest. I know it's not the newest, but Push.
Oh.
Push a T. Yeah.
Push a T. Oh.
I still got that in my
rotation. Still got that?
You know, still got that in my rotation, okay, man. So I'm on that. And I'm waiting for this Game album.
Man, I can't.
That's about to drop.
Because Game never disappoints. I'm with you about Game. Game never disappoints. Mine is Crit. I think his last album was pretty dope. Let's get back into, you know, I got you here to talk Hoyas. So, all right, what were your thoughts on the Hoyas, you know, last week, you know, compete, you know, beating the Texas Longhorns, who were ranked 22nd in the country, and going toe-to-toe with the number one ranked Blue Devils?
I felt good about it, man. Kind of the same thing with you. I mean, I understood going into the season, still going to be some things worked out with the rotation and whatnot. I just wanted to see the guys kind of try to get better and improve. After the Penn State game, I didn't like what I seen that night
mm-hmm.
in the team at all. So to beat a pretty tough Georgia State team, I thought that was a good win just to bounce back off the Penn State. But
okay,
I still wasn't sure about things. But you go to MSG,
yeah,
you get a ranked win against Texas. The Texas win to me was big for several reasons.
Yeah.
It was big because you wanted to bounce back, like I said, off of the Penn State.
Mm-hmm.
It was a ranked contest.
Mm-hmm. Neutral site.
You're at MSG. Yep. Neutral site. MSG mm-hmm. is big for UN. Everybody's
yeah.
watching.
Yeah.
So to see that go down the way it did, especially in the second half, because the guys were able to get it together. And then they not only won the game, they ran away with the game.
Mm-hmm.
So to do that, I thought was big. Duke, I didn't like what I seen Friday night at the end of the game. I had bad feelings because I like the way the guys played,
yeah,
but the way the game was officiated,
yeah, of course,
kind of had me upset.
Yeah, I think that's what everybody. My thing is, I love the way the guys played. I think you can't take that away from them, right? Because they worked their asses off, to be honest with you, and they played hard. But the officiating was atrocious. But you know what? At the end of the day, this is how I look at, you know, when you're playing against the Duke Blue Devils for whatever, you know, it is what it is. That tends to happen, right? So you have to be prepared to know that, you know what, if things are going a certain way, them referees are going to try to keep them in the game, and they're going to do some things to kind of help them along. That's always
yeah.
the nature of it. And I know it sounds like a jaded fan by saying that, but when you watch Duke games, that tends to happen.
Yeah, no doubt. It happens like that. It's just kind of frustrating because you want it to be fair.
Mm-hmm.
You want the guys to have a chance, but the next day, I thought about it too. Like I said, overall, great, great showing.
Yeah.
Like I said, you split the contest. You had two ranked games. Everything kind of went perfect because you went into Thursday night playing against Texas, hoping that you can win that game to get the shot at Duke. So of course, Duke beats Cal.
Mm-hmm.
So you're able to get a 2-for-1 out of that trip.
Yeah.
Two two out of one, you know, being able to get two ranked games and, you know, a split. It is what it is. The guys show that they can play with anybody, though, by doing that.
Yeah. And I think that, to your point, is that it was good for the program. And it's good for, and then we talk about building a resume, right? Penn State's ending up, Penn State right now is looking okay, right? Because they're beating other teams and they're competing at a high level. And you got Georgetown, they just beat a ranked Texas team in a neutral site. They competed with Duke, right? That's still on the resume saying a neutral site that you gave Duke some go. And that was on a national stage, so everybody saw it. So it's not like, you know, some of these people on the committee didn't see it. They'll be like, oh, we saw this game. Georgetown looks like a legit team. Now it's on to, you know, continuing the process, playing that type of basketball when you're playing some of the lesser schools, taking that into the Big East, because we now have seen the Hoyas being able to play defense like they strap. And that was my thing about when Pat came here. It was like, all right, Pat, like, you know, you represent Georgetown basketball. I know you've been in the league, right? You want to do this up and down, running and shooting threes, Golden State Warriors type of basketball, but you are Georgetown. Like, you are Georgetown. You represent Georgetown. You brought this program to dominance. You are the figure. You and John Thompson are the figures of Georgetown, to be honest with you. Let's be real with it. And you have to play that Georgetown style of basketball. And that, what I mean by that is on the defensive side of the ball, you're pressing. You're playing hard. You're not giving up any easy layups because that's Georgetown basketball. We grew up watching that style of basketball. And over the week, like that last week against Texas and against Duke, we saw that mentality.
Yeah, no, you did. And this is the 40th anniversary of the Big East.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about one of the greatest players in Big East history, the current coach at Georgetown, where he made his name on the court. So for him to have this year is very important for the program, very important for the conference, everything. So for him to kind of come in and make some plays, the goal is to make the tournament this year.
Yeah, there you go.
So like you said, made a statement in New York. Now Saturday against UNC Greensboro becomes the most important game of the year because you want to bounce back. You want to keep the momentum going from MSG. You don't want to have a letdown. You want to continue to play. You want to pretend that opponent, everybody in front of you, is the number one team.
Exactly. I agree. I'm with you. No, I'm sorry, Pat. Keep going. I'm sorry.
Oh, no. I mean, pretty much that's it. I mean, you got to. You can't afford to have any letdowns. Guys have to bring the intensity. Guys have to play because after the game Saturday, they hit the road for two games.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to go on the road, Oklahoma State, SMU, and then you come back home for Syracuse.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you. I think you need to bring that same play. It's like that kid that's been failing, right? And then you tell him to go study, right? And then all of a sudden, you know, he shows that he's not, like, he's able to get, like, an A. And now you tell that kid, yeah, hey, I want to see that every freaking week, every day. I want to see that paper. Every time you do it, every assignment, whatever, I want to see you get that A. It's the same thing with Georgetown. What we saw last week, it's like, yo, it wasn't one game, it was two games. You showed us that you can compete at the highest level. We got to see that every game. So when you're playing against UNC Greensboro up at the at Capital One, I don't want to see like a touch and go game. Like you shouldn't see that. We want to see dominance.
Yeah, like you said, you carry it over. Mm. You need and then another thing too is hopefully this doesn't become a trend, but we have to find a way to keep the guys on the court. So Year seven can't get in foul trouble.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Matt can't get in foul trouble. So we got to find ways for the guys to make plays. And don't put the situation in where the refs are going to control the game. We want to try to play smart. We want to try to do whatever we can to keep our best players on the court. And then because that's the only way we're going to get better. Yurt's been our best guy this year as far as stats, the way he sets the tone, but he doesn't do us any good sitting on the bench. Now, Wahab came in and gave us some really good minutes against Texas and Duke, so that's a plus because it's going to prepare him. But no doubt about it, we need Yurt on the court. We need LeBlanc on the court. We need Mac on the court. We need Mac on the court playing smart, taking good shots. So once we get everybody going, we'll truly be able to see what this team can do.
Yeah. I just want to see everybody. I want to see, like, everybody play at the maximum level. I'm loving Yusuf, to be honest with you. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene right now. I have Patrick Waring from the NBS Sports Hour podcast on the line. So, Pat, do you believe that? For you right now, do you think that Hewitt and the Hoyas have turned the corner?
I think they have. Mm-hmm. I think they have turned the corner. But everything's judged in wins and losses. So we see that finally in year three, he has his players in here. He's kind of shown them his plan. We see some identity. We see the style of play that he wants to play. So I think he has everything set there. But now they have to do the job on the court, though. So I can sit down and I can go game by game. Yeah, they should win this. Hopefully they win that, whatever. But at the end of the day, they have to win. So I think now is the time. I think now is the time. We've seen year one. He kind of got in. We talked a lot about the non-conference schedule. Mm-hmm. Guys are learning. Year two, kind of got in there, got close, made the NIT. But I think now everything's on those guys. So hopefully we will see that. And hopefully New York was a sign of, you know, what's to come. But I believe in what he has going on. I also thought too in that Duke game, mm-hmm. I thought we seen something very important too. It didn't help the situation, but the tech that Ewan picked up.
I think we seen some fire.
We seen some fire from him, man. And I think the guys are gonna respond to that going down. I mean, we seen the memes before, the jokes, the one legged step back, mm-hmm. and we seen that type stuff from him. But now we've seen him step up and kind of take one for his team. So I'm hoping that carries over, and I'm hoping that's going to open up bigger things this year for the team.
Yeah, I hope so too, man. Hey, Pat, before I let you go, and I'm thankful for you to be thankful that you were able to be on the show. I appreciate you. How can folks check out your podcast and hit you up on social media?
Yeah, so the podcast is at NBS. Sports Hour. You can hit us up on there. And then if you want to follow me personally, it's at Waring, WARING, Patrick, PATRICK. So hit me up, man. Anybody hits me up, I'll try to interact. I love to interact with people. So hit me up. Give me your thoughts on either the pod or whatever's going on.
And Pat, you're on iTunes, Google Play, and all that good jazz? The podcast?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We got it set up, so we should be on all the platforms now, so you'll be able to follow us on all that.
So you already heard that, folks. You can catch him on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, you know, all that good jazz. The podcasts are being heard and sold and subscribed to, whatever. Make sure you leave feedback, too. Feedback's very important. Y'all don't even know that, but it's very important. Hey, Pat, man, thanks for being on, my man.
I appreciate you.
All
right.
Again, that is Patrick Waring from the NBS Sports Hour podcast. Make sure you follow him on Twitter. His Twitter handle is at Waring Patrick. Also, make sure you subscribe to his podcast, man. You know what I mean? It's good stuff, good content. He talking about hip hop, man. You know I love hip hop. What you think I be playing on this show? Every time we go to break, you know I be bumping all that good jazz, man. I was bumping Boys in the Hood. I was bumping some Go Go. That's just what I do. We bump that real ish. All right, man. Deontay Wilder is knocking folks out. You saw what he did to Luis Ortiz? Did you see? I'm gonna discuss that after the break. You listen to the Urban Sports Scene for ages. You dig? Deuces.
Come on, man.
Listening to the Urban Sports Scene. I'm Wole and I'm your host. Will T and Ray G's are out. Saturday night in a rematch, WBC heavyweight champion Deontay Wilder KO'd Luis King Kong Ortiz in the seventh round. Ortiz was owning the fight, you know, for most of the fight. Before the seventh round, I had it like 5-1 Ortiz. Ortiz had more of the solid punches and was more active than Wilder. Wilder was looking for that one. He kept looking for that one punch. And at the time, I felt like, hey, you know, I thought it was good. I thought it was a good decision to look for the one, for that one punch. There was no reason for Wilder to exert any kind of energy to knock out Ortiz early when, you know, he could, you know, wait till the later rounds. You know, being 40, Ortiz, you know, being 40 years old, Ortiz, you know, it was inevitable for this dude to get tired towards the end of the fight. But, you know, the worst thing that happened to Ortiz in that fight was in the seventh rounds when he hit Wilder and thought he hurt Wilder, and he opened up, and that was all she wrote. Wilder wasn't the most technical fighter. He wasn't the most technical fighter in between the two. But his power is so game changing, man. To beat Wilder, you gotta have like a Mayweather approach. Like, you gotta be stubborn like Mayweather. You just have to focus on boxing and not trying to get in a box, get in that little, in that confined box with Wilder. Because when you, if you in that booth with Wilder, you're going to feel the pain and you don't get that damage. You don't get that work. You don't get that clock work. And you don't, you're not giving yourself a legit chance to beating Deontay Wilder. That's why I kind of like the Tyson Fury and what he did in the first fight, for most of the fight, until he got the Undertaker knockout. That's why I call it like knockdown, because he did get up. For most of the fight, he tried to box him, and he wasn't stubborn. You know what I mean? He was just outboxing Wilder. I believe that if you stick to that route, you can beat Wilder. But if you try to, you know, get aggressive, you're going to get that work. But I don't think, you know, to me, Tyson Fury, because it was announced that February 22nd, it goes down, Fury-Wilder. But I don't think that Fury wants that smoke and wants that work with Wilder in the box. I mean, in the booth, excuse me, because if he gets in the trenches with Wilder, he don't get his ass knocked out early. If he sticks to the plan, what I mentioned earlier, being like Mayweather, staying stubborn in the game and just, you know, trying to box and not listening to the noise, the crowd trying to get him to engage with Wilder in the booth, then, you know, he has an opportunity. If he decides to get in the booth with Wilder, it's a wrap. That's not a look that Tyson Fury wants to have, because again, this time that Undertaker approach, he ain't getting up. He ain't doing the whole resurrection type of thing. He's gonna be down under and not getting up anytime soon. Right now, the question comes out to me: is Deontay Wilder the most exciting, not just the most exciting heavyweight, but the most exciting boxer in the game? I think he is. His power is electric. That's something you can't deny the man. Like, his power, in my opinion, beats everything. Like, there's nobody that has that excitement. Canelo had it, but, you know, he's been in more, you know, long-lasting fights. But when you're looking at Deontay, Deontay knocks folks out with like one punch. And it's not like the guy gets knocked out, gets back up, and then he just finishes off. He knocks him out with the one punch, the one hitter quitter. Like, he's exciting. I'm not saying he's Mike, but he's up there in terms of his excitement. On Twitter, at D Roberts IMG tweeted, "See, now this is a much better question than asking whether he's the best, which is laughable. A heavyweight with huge knockout power and a total non-existent defense is exciting. There's nothing wrong with enjoying that. He's a bigger, stronger, sloppier Arturo Gatti." I wouldn't say all that. Like, I know what you're trying to say, but because, again, Deontay Wilder's power is electric. I wouldn't compare him to no Gotti, though. And that's disrespectful. You my homie, but that's disrespectful. My man George tweeted, "This is tough. In one sense, Wilder is because you know that one huge punch could come at any time. But it's hard to be the most exciting boxer as a heavyweight because heavyweight fights don't tend to be as action-packed as fights in the lower weight classes." That's a very fair point, George. But I just think that one punch, when we saw Iron Mike, he was the most exciting thing, period. Because, like, his punch, when he knocked you out, it was electric, the reaction. Like, let's just think about what he did to Tyson Fury, though Tyson Fury got up. Like, that punch knocked him cold, and it looked the part, right? It just looked the part. He got up, but which was the way he got it was pretty funny, but he got up. But now, if you look at what he did to King Kong Ortiz, again, he hit him with that, that straight clean punch. Boom, knocked him out. And you knew he was getting up. Like, you know when Deontay hits you 9 times out of 10, you really aren't getting. If he hits you clean, you're not really getting up. He's an electric boxer. And I'm on the side again. I'm on the side of saying that, you know what? I think that Deontay Wilder is the most exciting boxer in the game. All right. We'll make our week 13 picks after the break. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene for ages. You dig? Deuces. Hey, With a goon to a goblin. Nothing. You ain't. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. I'm Ole, and I'm your host, Will T. Ray Jeezy. You're out. Man, I love Emily, man. You know, she said tougher than Nigerian hair. Y'all know I'm Nigerian. That's why that used to be my cue in the club, man. make sure you check out the Football Garbage Time podcast at www.footballgarbagetime.com. We have a weekly battle of NFL pick 'em games with them. Here's what we did in week 12. Ray went 11-3. I went 10-4. Will T, because he didn't make any picks, went 0-14. Yeesh. Here are our overall records. Ray is in first place. He's 109-66. I'm 175. And Will is 92-83. Here are the records from the Football Garbage Time mob. Scott is 115-60. Hakun Wong is 114-61. Joanne is 102-73. And Ryan is in last place in 81-94. Damn. He must not be making picks, but still. That's still bad, though. He ain't representing his own brand. Ryan, you disgust me. You're not representing your own brand, bruh. I know you may not be making picks anymore, but still. You are your own brand, Ryan. Do not do that to yourself. The homie George is 110-65. All right. I'm going to read off my picks first, and then Will T and Ray did text me their picks, and I'll, you know, read off their picks. All right. Bears-Lions. I had the Bears. Bills-Cowboys. Who you think I'm picking? I'm picking the freaking Bills. These are the Thanksgiving games. Saints-Falcons. I'm going to pick the Falcons. Again, that's the Thanksgiving games. Now we got the Sunday games. Jets-Bengals. I have the Jets. Titans, Colts, I have the Colts. Eagles, Dolphins, I have the Eagles. Packers, Giants, I have the Giants. No, sorry, Packers, Giants, I have the Packers. Browns, Steelers, I have the Browns. Redskins, Panthers, I have the Panthers. I'm not going to do the homer thing. I'm not the homer thing. Can't do that. Buccaneers, Jaguars, I have the Bucks. Niners, Ravens. I have the Ravens. Man, Lamar is off the chain. Me and Ed spoke about that. Ed and I spoke about that. He's off the chain right now. Rams versus the Cardinals. I got the Rams. Chargers versus the Broncos. Got the Chargers. Raiders versus the Chiefs. Give me the Chiefs. Patriots versus the Texans. I got the Texans. Vikings versus the Seahawks. Give me the Seahawks. And, you know, it's Kirk Cousins against a good defense. Nobody fooling me. I ain't with that. All right. So here we go. Ray picked the Bears, the Cowboys, the Saints, the Jets, the Colts, the Eagles, the Packers, the Steelers, the Panthers, the Jaguars, the Ravens, the Rams, the Broncos, the Chiefs, the Patriots, and the Seahawks. And Will T chose the Bears, the Bills, the Saints, the Jets, the Colts, the Eagles, the Packers, the Steelers, the Panthers, the Ravens, the Bucks, the Rams, the Chargers, the Chiefs, the Patriots, and the Vikings. He chose the Vikings. He chose the Vikings. All right. I think I did all my picks, and I think the show is about a wrap. It was a great show. Make sure you subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, iTunes, and Google Play. Just search The Urban Sports Scene. Also, tweet us at Urban Sports Scene and hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. And I'm supposed to say something. Shoot, what am I supposed to say? Got to cue something. Come on, I got to say something. I always got to speak. Always got to speak and say something. What do I got to say? I know. Oh, I know. You've been listening to The Urban Sports Scene for ages. You dig deuces. A mega lead us out, big homie. Hey yo, happy Turkey Day!